Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what is commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. How do you keep something safe? Maybe say an important document, or maybe some of your best family photos, or maybe a small heirloom that you might want to save and hang on to and make sure that it doesn't get stolen or destroyed. You may have a fireproof box in your house that you keep locked up and in a safe place. Or you may take those things and put them in a safety deposit box in the bank and have them lock it up in the vault. But what do you do to keep yourself safe? Soon after World War II, there was a scare here in the United States. The American people learned that Russia had nuclear weapons. And that frightened everyone because they had just seen what nuclear weapons could do in Japan. So people dug up their backyards and they started putting in bomb shelters. And then they started buying up all sorts of stuff and stocking those bomb shelters with supplies. And I think schools even then developed bomb scare, if there were bomb scares going on, of safety measures for the kids, that the kids would have to crawl under their desk and cover their heads if something happened. Eventually, though, people learned to live with that threat. Bomb shelters no longer were bomb shelters, and I think that faded away with the kids, too. Now the kids do fire drills, and they also do drills maybe for terrorist attacks or for safety checks. It changes, but we try to keep ourselves safe. Paul, as he was writing his letters to Timothy, which we read in our second lesson today, he was not safe when he was writing those. He was actually in prison. He had been arrested for proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And at any time, guards could come in. They could torture him. They could whip him. He could beat him at the whim of the Roman officials. He could be put to death, executed. And so Paul was not safe, but he wasn't worried about his own safety. What he was worried about was the safety of the message of Jesus Christ. He writes here in our second lesson, "Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us." He was writing these letters to Timothy. Timothy was a young person. He was inexperienced, and he may have been somewhat timid. And so Paul writes these letters to him to give him encouragement, to let him stand on the faith in Jesus Christ, and to also give him some pointers and some helps and practical advice as well then, too, in ministry. He mentions here then too that you have learned the faith from your grandmother. You've learned it from your mother. Your mother was faithful too. And now it's his turn. Paul's mission was to the Gentiles. And so what he would typically do is he traveled through the whole area of what we know of as Turkey and Greece and Samaria and parts of the Middle East and maybe a few parts northward of that as well. But that whole area, Paul would travel and he would go into an area and he would start preaching in the marketplace or in the streets, and he would develop churches, congregations, gathering people who would worship, who would gather for worship and come together. And then also, too, he would start to develop leaders for those new congregations. And once he felt he had those places established, he would move on to a new area, and he would do the whole same thing all over again. But on occasion, he would go back to those congregations where things had started, where he had started, because sometimes they needed some help. Again, these were areas that were not Jewish, and they had previous religions in the past, and sometimes those previous religions would kind of start to creep in on the Christianity. So Paul would go there to help straighten out the doctrine, help straighten out the teachers, and retrain the leaders within the congregation. Well, Paul at this time can't do that. He's in prison. He can't travel back to those congregations. And so he writes this letter to Timothy, who is in Ephesus, one of the congregations that he started, so that Timothy could be the leader and take over where Paul is not able to be there, to be able to do that, to lead the congregation. So he's giving him encouragement to hold to the standard of sound teaching and guard that good treasure entrusted to you. He's trying to build Timothy up. Timothy had that background. He traveled with Paul for a while. Again, too, he had that background with his grandmother and with his mother. And it was passed on to him. And now it is passed on to us. It's important that we continue to hold on to that standard of sound teaching and guard that good treasure entrusted to us. Because like back in the early church, not only with Paul, but also with the early church, there was always outside influences trying to peck at Christianity or trying to dig its heels in. Already at the beginning, there was a controversy, and that's actually recorded in Acts. The first major controversy of the church was the debate of whether, if you are to become a Christian and you are a Gentile, do you need to become Jewish first before you can become a Christian? And so that was debated back and forth. And throughout the centuries, there have been debates, different ways of looking at Scripture. You know, Scripture can be used in so many different ways. You can twist and turn Scripture to use it to your own ends if you want to. Or people have done it that way. I'm going to give you two theological terms. One is called exegesis. And what that means is that if you are going to find out what Scripture means, what the Scripture passage might mean, exegesis means digging into it. For instance, in our gospel lesson today, Jesus talks about a mustard seed. How many of y'all know exactly what a mustard seed is? Some of you probably do. You've probably seen some. There's a few hands out there. But there's a lot of people who do not know what a mustard seed is, what it looks like or what it's used for. What's the plant? All right, so those of you who know what a mustard seed looks like, do you know what the plant looks like? Y'all know what the plant looks like? All right, some of y'all know that. Do y'all know if that's the same plant they grew 2,000 years ago when Jesus was talking about this? No. So it takes some digging in to find out exactly what Jesus was talking about a lot of times. Some of these references we can pick up on fairly quickly. But as you dig into it, find out, you know, what is a mustard seed? Why is Jesus talking about mustard seeds? What's the significance in what he is trying to teach? You dig into that. You go back into, you may look at other scripture passages to see cross references, or you may dig back into even some archaeological work or other histories as well then too, to find out. And as you start to dig, it may pull out a completely different meaning from your first reading of it. You may see insights you never thought of before. And that's exegesis, that Scripture starts to come alive for us. And it teaches us something new. The other term I want to tell you about is called eisegesis. Eisegesis is, do it in the reverse order. You come up with a thought or a belief or an idea. And then you start looking at scriptures to see if you can back it up, or if you can make the scripture say what you want it to say. You're bringing your own ideas to scripture, so your ideas are shaping that scripture rather than that scripture facing shaping your faith. And I think that's what happens a lot of times. There's always that danger going on, that there's outside forces trying to pick and peck and change Christianity to make it shape to what you want it to look like. To make, if the scripture doesn't say that, well, you can say, well, you know, that scripture doesn't apply. Now, that scripture was written so long ago, they don't know what they're talking about. I've heard a lot of those arguments as scripture and policies and practices of the church have taken place or are taken, made changes to. And so it's important now that we continue to hold to the standard of sound teaching and guard that good treasure that is entrusted to us. And we do that through our study, through our worship, and it's important, too, that we do that with our children. As your children are young and starting to grow up, read them Bible stories. Let them know the stories of the Bible. Let them be familiar with that Bible. It's important, too, as families, that you would pray at mealtime or maybe pray in the mornings or pray in the evenings. It's important, too, that the children see you involved with Bible study, either through devotions or through personal prayers, to lead your children through that, to know that this is a part of who we are. This is a part of our family. This is what it means to be a Christian, is to be involved in Scripture. Come to worship. Come to Sunday school. Not only the kids, but adults as well then too, because there's always something new, always something refreshing in Scripture as you get into Scripture. The children too then can are able to grow and thrive in faith as they come to Sunday school. And in worship then, as your children begin to learn how to read, you can take your bulletin in front of you and point out to your children where we're at in the service. This is where we are. See, we're following right along here. Or with the hymnal, this is what we're singing right now. And this is how you read that hymnal with the different verses, the way they jump around in there. To show your children, this is how we worship. It's important that we pass on this faith just as with St. Timothy, that his grandmother and his mother passed it on to him. And so it's our turn now. It's our turn to hold on to that standard of sound teaching and to guard that good treasure that is entrusted to us. We do that by staying in God's Word. For Paul, as he was writing this, he personally was not safe. Again, he could be beaten at any time, he could be hauled off, he could be tortured, he could be interrogated, or he could be executed. But Paul would argue that he actually is safe. He is safe because he has been saved. He knows that this life in this world is just temporary. His true home is with Jesus Christ. And no matter whether he is living on this earth or whether he goes on to live with God in paradise, he feels safe because he has been saved. And that is the same for us too, that we do feel safe because Christ has saved us. God has wrapped his arms around us and lifted us up. And so we in turn then hold on to that standard of sound teaching and guard the good treasure that is entrusted to us. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.